Have you been exploring your spirituality and learning more about yourself? And now you're ready to take bold, positive action. Are you seeking clarity about what is really blocking you from your greatest potential? Do you feel like you're so close to a breakthrough, but you can't figure out why you continue to feel stuck at the same level? Join us now for Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer, two transformational coaches who are eager to share all they've learned over the many years they've each been working with clients, helping them create the life they want. Joyce and Jennifer both have extensive, diverse backgrounds in the art of conscious transformation, and they are here to help you. So tune in now for the insight and tools you need to consciously live, work, and play, so that you can live the life you most deeply long to experience.
Hi, Joyce here. Welcome to Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer. I'm a transformational coach, loss and grief retreat leader, and master level psychiatric nurse who guides clients to live their most joyful, courageous, and authentic lives. Jennifer's not here today with us. She's attending a very exciting business intensive. She'll be back next week for our dialogue on ego to essence. So on our show today, I'll be in conversation with Melody LeBaron, my friend and colleague, about the subject of dealing with grief. And we're going to be discussing our upcoming retreat, Heartbroken Open, Grief as a Sacred Path to Renewal and Rebirth, that's happening November 3rd through the 5th in Atlanta at the Center for Love and Light. And a little bit later, I'll give you the contact information if you're interested in coming. So before I introduce Melody, I'd like to talk about how my feelings for what just occurred in Las Vegas with these dear souls. So I'd like just to say how deeply sad and horrified I am about this deadly shooting that just occurred, and the loss of human life and injury is just devastating for all of us involved, for everybody. And I hope that some critical change in gun laws can come from this event, finally. You know, we know that most of the people who've experienced this horrifying event will experience some trauma, loss, and grief. And for that, I'm pretty sure about the level they had. So on the heels of this, it's really important that we're having this show today, that we're talking about loss and grief and what's actually going on. So let's begin our conversation. So I'd like to introduce the audience to Melody LeBaron again as my friend and co-partner in facilitating the grief retreat. So over the last 30 years, Melody has used her expertise as a professional organizer, space clearing practitioner, feng shui consultant, yoga teacher, and empowerment facilitator to midwife the deaths of 10 of her loved ones. She's authored the forthcoming book, Creating Sacred Space for Death, Preparing the Environment and Yourself When a Loved One is Dying. And she also coaches the dying and their caregivers. So no stranger to grief herself, Melody is a living example of the power and the vitality which can be restored when loss is fully experienced and integrated. So welcome, Melody.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here with you.
It's wonderful that you're here. I'm excited about it. So let's just get started with our questions. So one of the major things that are important to know is, how do we engage with grief rather than push it away?
Well, to truly engage grief rather than resist it, and truly resisting is our normal, like, human response. It's too painful. We don't want to feel it. But to truly engage it, we have to understand the purpose of grief. Grief is a part of the human condition. We will all experience loss. We will each receive an invitation to do what I call our grief work, which may be the most maturing work we will ever do in this life. Our grief work is meant to align our life with our soul's purpose. So, yes. You know, if I were to go back to, you know, 1990, my initiation into grief work came through my anticipatory grief before, as my mother was dying of cancer, and she died in our arms. And then 5 years later, my younger sister died of a chronic illness. And I thought I understood grief. I thought I was well acquainted with grief. But then my 17-year-old son, Logan, was injured. He was a passenger in a car that went off the road. The utility pole came down on top of the car. And Logan died in our arms 3 days later. It was at that point in my life, I was just 42 years old, that the sword of truth cleaved my heart open and severed the truth from the illusion. And, you know, grief can be absolutely overwhelming, and my grief was overwhelming at that time. And I soon realized that to survive, I wasn't even thinking about thriving after the loss. I was just thinking, I don't know if I can survive this loss. I realized I was going to require support. And you've heard that saying about when the student is ready, the teachers appear. Well, life had made me ready, and my teachers appeared. And as I, with their help, integrated this immense loss, what I discovered is that over that 2 and 3 year period where I was working with my grief every day, everything that was false in me and in my life fell away and made room for real, authentic, personal growth and power to take its place. So what I've discovered is that the more willing I was to actually feel my grief, to feel my sadness, to feel my rage, the more willing I was to feel it instead of pushing it away, at the end of those waves of grief, the closer I actually felt to Logan. You know, those waves of grief were searingly painful in and of themselves, but if I learned that if I could breathe through them, they would burn all my hopes and expectations for my future. They would burn through the old me that was going to have that life. And on the other side of that grief was an increased capacity to both feel and embody the joy and the love that Logan brought into my life. So integrating his death, what I call his graduation, his early graduation, allowed me to release my old identity so that more love could flow through me and to flow through my life. So I don't want to, you know, make it sound easier than it was. Make no mistake, grief is a painful initiation. And knowing that, we would all do very well to think of our grief as the work of our soul, as something we took birth to do. So I know, Joyce, that you have also experienced your own tremendous loss, and maybe you can speak to that.
I will. I want to first speak to just a point you said, and then I'll move into that. So I totally agree that our grief work is soul work, and I think most people don't realize that grief work is some of the most profound work you will ever do on yourself, and that, you know, it takes courage to face the world as it really is and not to turn away from it, not to hide out in a place of comfort and just anesthetize yourself. I would say how we engage grief, going back to that question, how do we engage grief? That it's to be aware of your relationship to grief. Instead of hiding it away, befriend your grief. Find a way to approach grief, to allow it into your life. Many people push it away as like it's not part of your life. And this culture tends to do that because we've never had that integrated into our life. We push it away. We don't want to deal with it. It's something that's just too scary, but it's part of life. And so Francis Weller, in his book, The Wild Edge of Sorrow, which is a book that both Melanie and I highly recommend that people read.
Yes.
It is just a beautifully written. He's a wordsmith, and it's just one of the best books I've ever read on grief. And so grief needs a little heat to get it moving. So imagine that you're a container, and you keep yourself guarded and at a distance. You become cold, and everything inside of you comes congealed and hardened. So to move this energy of grief, you need to have a little attention paid to your body and what's going on. So I suggest warming up with, if the energy, if it feels like it's not coming, to warm it up by dancing, writing, painting, or moving the energy some way in your body. And the other thing, it's really important to speak about how you're feeling, because grief is everywhere now because of all the events that are going on the earth. And personally, I don't see any way that's going to stop. So here's an example of just something that just happened on the spot. I was in Whole Foods yesterday, and a woman who's just works in the store, I don't really know her, but I could tell she was very upset. So she said to me, yesterday was so terrible for me. Today I'm feeling a little bit better, but not myself. And I just replied, yes, me too. I'm deeply sad. I'm telling you this because people need to connect now. And a lot of people don't have people to connect to. So this is why the lady in Whole Foods said that to me. She thought, well, I know her. And she looks like somebody who might listen to this. If people don't have people to speak this to, they find somebody, as they should. So thank you for sharing your story, Melody. And we're getting ready to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Have you or someone you love ever experienced a major loss? The kind of loss so cataclysmic that it divided life into before and after. The death of a beloved person or pet, the loss of a job, a health challenge, can leave us feeling empty, lost, alone, wondering if we'll ever feel joy again. Loss is universal. Grief is part of the human condition. But in our modern world, we've lost the ability to understand, share, and integrate our grief. We're expected to grieve privately and quickly get over it. This November 3rd through 5th, the Atlanta Grief and Loss Center will be hosting a retreat that will allow you to fully feel, integrate, and catalyze your grief. Our retreat is called Heartbroken Open, Grief as a Sacred Path to Renewal and Rebirth. If you are grieving, or if you work with clients who are grieving, you'll find more information about this powerful retreat at atlantagriefandlosscenter.com/retreats or call 404-881-1322.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. And I'm going to be talking about my story. But before I do that, I want to read one of my favorite poems by Rumi, which is so appropriate for our discussion today. So it's called The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently swept your house empty of its furniture. Still treat each guest honorably. He may be cleaning you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door, laughing, and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from above. From Rumi. So, Melody, I'll share, you've heard my story before, but I'll share with the listeners. And we share these stories because it's important to hear other people's stories, and it's important to hear how that teachers and people who are teaching loss and grief have the same stories that everybody else does, and that we've gone through all of this, but we've come out on the other end. You've heard Melody's story about her son and her family. So this is my story, one of mine. I certainly have many stories early on, but this is one that was about now 8 years ago. I had just had a birthday, and I was out outside with a group of people doing yoga, and we just were having a great time. It was November. We were celebrating life. And then a week later, I was driving home from seeing a client and found myself in the middle of a serious accident that involved the police and a violent shooting between two drug dealers. One man was left dead and one was shot. The shooter plowed into the driver's side of my Miata, and then he attempted to get out and run away from the police. The accident, well, the police came, caught him, obviously, and the accident caused long-term physical injury to my legs, my hands, my arms, and certainly caused a lot of emotional injury, too. So the result of that period and how long it took me to heal resulted in me closing my business for about 2.5 years. I lost my home through foreclosure. All of this, a couple of my animals died, and I'll tell you, it was a dark night of the soul for me. I loved where I lived, and Melly had been there and done some energy work on it. I didn't want to leave there. I loved my home. I just couldn't figure out what the heck was happening to me. And I call this piece The Breakdown to Breakthrough. So, you know, I was angry and I was depressed and I felt really abandoned. I actually felt abandoned from God. Like I was doing work. I was doing spiritual work. Why would you do this to me? I mean, like, I'm so special here. But we all realize now that we're all special, but not. We all can encounter anything at any time. So I had entered into my own dark night of the soul experience of death and rebirth. And really amidst this kind of swirling, disturbing chaos, my ego or lower mind just kept repeating, why is this happening to me? Although I understood this chaos sort of on a spiritual level, emotionally I battled recurring fears, doubts, and depression. The more I fought the experience and sought to control the chaos, the more emotional I became. I was being pushed to the very brink while also being forced to reexamine issues that I thought I had healed years ago. I needed to change. I needed to make a transition. I literally had to let go of everything that I once thought was important and believed to be true about myself. I lost almost everything I had except me. After a year of almost 2 years of just sort of seclusion and healing, I began to ponder a new way of living. And during that time, I was doing a lot of spiritual work on myself, and healers were coming in and working on my body. It was a lot of really great transformational work going on that only really insight later saw all the people who showed up to heal my body. just all the teachings that were available to me during that time. So I would say through meditation and healing and prayer and support from a community of friends, I finally surrendered. And I allowed myself to just trust unconditionally that all of these losses were creating space for me to experience my life anew, filled with more freedom and more love and a deeper connection with my own self and others. So within about 2 years, I reopened my coaching business, my coaching mind body practice, and moved into a new apartment. And I purchased a new car, a safer car for driving around in Atlanta in a sports car. I'm not sure how safe that is anymore with all those cars there. So women and men, I found that women and men who were ready to heal from their trauma, loss, and grief filled up my practice. They wanted to learn how to become more conscious, live an authentic life, and find their life purpose. So what I can say I learned during my crisis is that if you stay in your head or your own intelligence during a crisis and try to figure this out, you'll struggle and descend into overwhelming darkness and negativity. However, if you remain grounded in the energy of your heart, the dark and the light will integrate and create an opening for healing and resolution. And you will emerge from the dark night of the soul as a different, more consciously evolved person, as I believe I did. So that's my story.
And you know, Joyce and I were friends during this time, and I got to witness what was happening. I got to witness that surrender and that, you know, just allowing yourself to receive. And looking back on that now, you recognize, wow, that was the moment that it all began to change. But going through it, it's so uncomfortable. And I just want to applaud you for how bravely you did that. And, you know, I also want to highlight something else you said, because you talked about many different things that helped you. But one of the things was body work. And what I know for myself is that when we're working with grief, we have to get out of the head. We have to get in touch with the body. Memory, trauma, loss is stored in the body. And so for us to heal from that, we have to get in touch with the body.
That is so, so true. It's really totally necessary. I agree. And a lot of people don't do body work thinking that's not where the issue is. The issue is in their head. But boy, it's locked into your body with the trauma that has just occurred, whatever that may be. So,
yeah, and it doesn't, you don't have to go to someone and pay them, but you can walk in nature. You can, like you said, you can dance, you can do any paint, you can do any physical activity, and it will help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's move into the part of talking about more about the kinds of grief that we see and sometimes don't see, called the five gates of grief. So as we go through these, we'll ask yourself, how many ways are you either experiencing or resisting this experience that is actually in all of us? And I found the five gates to be really interesting, because the first one we're all familiar with, but I would say that many people are not even aware that these are actually gates into to grief, a way to get in. So,
right. And, you know, this term that we're using, this term, the five gates of grief, comes from Francis Weller. And in his wonderful book, The Wild Edge of Sorrow, he speaks to these as gates that we can go through to really engage with the human condition and be in this relationship with grief. And the first one is that everything we love, we will lose. And all of us know that this is a mortal life we're living, a life of impermanence. And every loss along the way, whether it's the loss of a job or the loss of a home or relationship or an identity or a loved one, prepares us for the big loss, when it's our turn to take our turn in death. And so we live in this existence of impermanence, and how aware are we of that impermanence, of the fact that we will lose that which we love? We will be called upon to set it aside and surrender it. So that would be the first gate of grief. And to be in right mm-hmm. relationship with that would be to be dancing with that grief, to be aware of that grief rather than resisting it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the second gate is our shadow, the place within that has not known love. This is the place within us that has been wrapped in shame and banished from our daily life. We often hate these parts of ourselves and did not allow them the light of day. If the shame remains hidden, it turns into self-hate, and it never allowed to be grieved. So I'm just going to share briefly another story about myself, because it's really about grief. When I was about 7 years old, my father was murdered. And at that time in the 1950s, when I was growing up, this sort of thing didn't happen. It's becoming, unfortunately, very common now, but it certainly didn't happen then in the 50s and 60s yet, like it is now. And so in my family, it was like it happened and it was over. And we shut that door for all of us, and we never opened it again. And I never opened that gate again, that door into that shame, until I was probably in my 40s when I went into therapy and when I knew that this was something that I had really never really dealt with about my father and about what had happened, and more about me, that how did this affect me? How was I part of that whole situation with him? You know, as a child, you believe you're somehow responsible. We'll be right back and finish up with our shadow.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Depleted by the rat race? Depressed by the attitudes of the human race? The book Honor explains why and how to transform your life from confusion and heartache to one that you most authentically desire. Join Om Times Radio host Jennifer McKenna Weinbaum as she takes you on her journey from her darkest period to her happiest and healthiest life. Entertaining, enlightening, Honor will help you find and maintain the love and light in your own life. Visit www.universalabundance.com to pre-order your copy.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Listen, my life changed because someone was there to get me to use drugs. No one can understand. People think that having someone who will listen makes it better. I need help.
I'm listening.
I need help. I think that having someone who will listen makes it better. People understand. No one can get me to use drugs. My life changed because someone was there to listen.
Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to turn addiction around. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. I was just talking about the shadow when we took our next break. So all I can say about the shadow is that it's very important work to do. And if there's something there that's hidden away, I encourage you to start writing about it and move it out, because it'll stay there until you do that. You don't want anything inside of you that has to do with shame. It's not helpful at all. So let's move into our third gate.
And the third gate would be the sorrows of the world. And so when Joyce began the program today talking about what's happened in Las Vegas, all of us who have watched the news and listened to the radio and read the reports, we are also collectively grieving. We are sharing in the sorrows of the world. And whether we know it or not, we are an organism that lives on Mother Earth. So our bodies are bodies that live on the body of Mother Earth. And we are affected by what happens to our planet, just like we are affected by what happens to the other people on the planet. So the polluting and the raping of our precious planet affects each one of us in different ways. And so when our natural spaces are taken away from us, and when we don't have access to clean and healthy food and water, this affects us, not just at the physical level, but at the mental and emotional level as well. So the sorrows of the world affect all of us.
Absolutely. So the fourth gate is what we expected and did not receive. So at this gate, we realize that whether we are aware of it or not, that there's much that we expected but did not receive. One of those expectations was the presence and the support of a community. We were born wired to expect a certain quality of welcome, of engagement, of touch, and of connection. We expected that our ancestors had a village to care for us when we had the feeling of belonging. The realization calls forth grief. How many people do you know who do not feel they belong to their family or that their culture? Our society is filled with people who feel empty, as well as experience a sense of not having a purpose or not knowing how to use their gifts. And I think this is really critical, and most people would not even ask themselves this question: what did I not get that I expected in my life? But the thing is, the one of the major things that we all want in the world right now is community. Everybody you ask, no matter how old they are or how young, they desire and they're starting to really yearn to be in community with people who are like-minded, who support them, who you can count on. So this is something that is deeply inside of us. It's in our DNA. It's a system. This is years ago when we had a community, and we had people who took care of us and protected us. And we don't have that anymore. We look at the world we're in right now, and we know why people are yearning for that. So I think community is going to be a big change coming up. For people I'm hearing more and more people are actually living now in a certain community with people who are like-minded.
Right. Intentional communities. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the fifth and final gate of grief that Francis Weller talks about is ancestral grief. Now, if you think about this, ancestral grief refers to the traumatic losses that are held in our genetic memory, in our very DNA. And these traumatic losses were experienced by our ancestors. And it's scientifically proven now that the loss, and whether or not that loss is supported, makes a huge difference, not just to the resilience of the individual, but of their family. And if that loss was not supported and integrated, if a restoration to health and vitality was not completed, then that contraction and that program gets passed on down the generations. And so when we look at the race problems we have in the United States today, and some of the, you know, genocide problems that are happening around the world, we recognize that these injuries continue to be perpetrated generation after generation because we're acting out of the trauma of the what's in the DNA, what's in the ancestral pattern. Mm-hmm. And just like Joyce was talking about when she talked about the shadow work that all of us can benefit from doing, I believe it's so important that each of us are aware of and begin to work on our lineage pieces, our own family's ancestral mm-hmm. patterns, and how those have contributed to the sorrows of the world and our own suffering, and do the work that we need to do to clear that out.
Absolutely. That is really, I think this is really powerful to say this about this gate, because most people do not think of themselves as still having something in their mind and body, their DNA, that could possibly contribute to their behavior now or how they think. But like you said, research shows that this is actually true, that people can go back to three or four generations and still holding it currently. So it's very powerful work to clear your ancestors. So, well, let's
so
move now.
For those of you listening,
do you have something else you want to talk about?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yes. So for those of you listening to the five gates of grief, the ancestral patterns, the lack of community, the loss of what you love, the shadow, the sufferings of the world, ask yourself how many of those you're actually engaging with, and ask yourself if you're actually resisting any of those. And remember that whichever gate you come into grief through, what you're being called to is your soul work. What you're being called to engage with when you do this deliberately is very powerful soul work that can restore vitality to you when well done. And so let's talk about our retreat coming up in November for people who want to do this soul work of engaging consciously with their grief.
Absolutely. So let's kind of walk through our program so that people can actually just visually kind of sense what the heck we do, because it is an incredible program. So
very.
Do you want to start talking about some of the, the beginning?
Yeah. So what we'll do in the very beginning, so we'll be meeting Friday night, and on Friday evening, as we come together, we will be creating what we call a sudden community. So we'll be coming together and doing some exercises and sharing that will help us understand our oneness and what we share. And there will be a tremendous amount of safety and containment in this process, not just physically in the room, but emotionally as well. And one of the things that grief must have is grief must have both containment and release. Containment so that we actually begin to work with and understand what has happened to us and begin to speak of it and process it. And then when we're ready to release it. And so we'll be setting up the room in a certain way. The chairs will all be in a circle, creating that feeling of connection. And we'll have an altar in the center of the circle, and we'll be bringing pictures of our loved ones that we've lost. We'll be bringing items to place on this grief altar that represent those losses that we are and have experienced, or that we might anticipate that we will be experiencing. And so we will be looking at grief. Part of what we'll be doing is looking at grief through the lens of beauty, through the lens of aesthetics. And we will be creating in the center this beautiful altar with candles and flowers and these beautiful objects and altar cloths, so that we will be focusing our attention, and that altar itself alters us. It gives us the feeling that there's medicine to be had. There's a gift here in this grief.
Yes, it's a beautiful process. And just to say that Melody and I have both done this, I've done it a couple times, and I will continue doing it myself. So I think at this level of the what we're doing in that group, that we, Melody and I, have to be doing our own grief work all the time.
Our own grief work. Exactly.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. So let me just talk briefly about who can this help. So, you know, it can help almost anybody right now, but specifically caregivers, therapists, coaches, health and wellness practitioners. I think it can help anyone who's experienced a violent situation, such as a shooting or a murder or a physical or sexual assault, anyone experiencing any kind of loss, bereavement, divorce, financial, job loss, home, any kind of environmental disturbance, like violent weather that we're seeing over and over and over, those dealing with a trauma, diagnosis, or illness, survivors healing from old wounds, and really, and anyone experiencing a loss of a beloved animal. Sensitives who feel grief for the devastation of our precious planet and her people, and anyone feeling stuck, sad, and lonely. So all of the, I can only say that, I said this, thought this yesterday, everyone should come to this, because
it's for everyone.
So many people who need it. It's for everyone now. So we'll be right back.
The best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. And Melly will continue talking about our beautiful retreat that we're doing in November. So
let's talk for a moment about the tools that we will be using. One of the things that we did deliberately when Joyce and I were planning this retreat is to refrain from calling it a workshop, because we tend to think of those as events where you sit and you're actually doing a linear process and you're working and you're learning something new and trying to apply that. And this is going to be a very different experience than that. So there will be definitely short bits of teaching, short bits of poetry and readings, but then you'll be asked to integrate this new perspective with movement or breath work or taking a walk or sitting and journaling and then partnering up and sharing. And all of this is, you know, these accelerated learning practices that help us to really begin to open up and expand the way we have been holding our grief, the way we have been engaging with it, to get more expansive with it. And what we'll be doing is we'll be creating some beautiful containment, some safety, and we'll be applying what Frances Weller calls heat. We'll be applying, we'll be really looking at, for me, my experience of my grief was almost like a fire was burning through me. When I would feel the waves of grief coming on, it was like, you know, in those moments of being at the effect of that emotion, it felt like this searing pain. And yet afterwards, it felt like that fire had burned through me and left me hollowed out. And I was more open as a channel for light, for love to flow through. So what we'll be doing is we'll be applying heat. And we'll just be, and that, you know, the very last time we take a meal together, we'll be in silence. We'll be in silence because we want that heat to build up. Because on Sunday after lunch, we will be doing an ancient indigenous ritual that will allow a profound release, that and a release of our grief in a way that will allow us to catalyze its power. So any time that any emotion is buried within us, we all know, I think, by now that feelings buried alive never die. And that when we try to suppress or resist or push down something, that just tension builds up and builds up. And so what happens is we'll be working with this grief and it will be rising in you, and we will allow it to release safely and in a very supported way. Every single person will be completely supported as they release their grief. And as they do, they will be welcomed back. There will be a grief altar that they will go to and release their grief. And as they are welcomed back into the community, into the group, they will be thanked for the work that they have done that will benefit and be medicine for the entire community. So the looks on people's faces when it's complete is absolutely astonishing. People look younger, people look more powerful, they look more vital, more alive. How would you describe how you felt after you did it for yourself the first time, Joyce?
Oh, I think I went there with deep sadness. And as I cleared it out, when I left, I did feel that actually something physically had left my body and that now I could maybe start again just to let go of it. And I didn't have to keep in the sorrow that I was in before I came there. And so it's an incredible experience. I think the last day is, you know, it just becomes a pinnacle of what happens to people. And I'll just have to say that some of the people Melanie and I worked with are doing really well now, and they had some really difficult situations around death, all kinds of things for their family and violence. And so, you know, that's what you look for. Does this help you? Is this something that really helps you? And there's no question in my mind that this is a process right. that over time has been done over and over and over, and it's tested. And, Francis has worked with it and, you know, worked with the indigenous other people. And so it's a very powerful process that I think Melanie and I feel very lucky that we're actually able to do this and be able to do this retreat. So I think
it's definitely one of the most powerful work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just so powerful.
It is. Yeah. And you just don't think that you're going to be in this room and that you're going to walk out of there and you're going to feel, how could you possibly feel different? How could you possibly feel that you've cleared out emotionally all this stuff? It's hard to know until you're actually there with the people, which you're so supported by, and actually do these processes. So yeah. Let me, before we end, we're getting close to our time to end, a few more minutes. I just wanted to say how that this can really help you. I mean, we've really kind of given you a picture, a visual picture, so you can kind of walk through what this might be like for you if you're one of the people who want to come to this. So, but I think how it can really help is, number one, this community welcomes you into the community, into the sudden community that you've coming into. It's different than any other community you've ever been welcomed into. And your presence is really honored and your grief shared. Everybody's grief is honored and people listen. We co-create, as Melody said, a safe, compassionate space for really deep emotional release and healing. And we integrate and transform all these buried emotions like shame and anger and rage, which always come up. And we use music and movement to relax these stuck emotions. And all the powerful tools that she said before, ritual and painting and journaling, all the things that help you to clear this up. And of course, journaling is one of the things that we use, and it's a very powerful tool how we use it. So I wanted to give you the address and the telephone number. So if you're interested, you could go to AtlantaGriefAndLossCenter.com/retreats. AtlantaGriefAndLossCenter.com. You can call my number, which is 404-881-1322, and get any information that you want. So let's just do a little final wrap up. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I just want to encourage those of you who are listening, that if you have questions about this, if you feel like this might be appropriate for you or for someone that you love, please reach out. Please go to AtlantaCenterForGriefAndLoss.com/retreat. Please read through that, forward it on, and call and ask questions. We are happy to take the time and make sure it's a fit for you.
Mm-hmm. So just before we end, I just wanted to wrap up some of the points today on our call, major points that grief is normal, healthy response to loss. Grief work is soul work. It is a major way we mature, and anyone can benefit from grief work, and that it's healthy to verbalize your emotions with someone that you trust, to speak them out, to get this stuff out of your body. Is there anything, Melanie, anything else you want to share before we finish up today?
I just want to thank you for this opportunity to work with you in this way and to be interviewed today. And just to also let people know that if you realize that you are resisting your grief and trying to push it away, that's completely normal too. Just make sure you look mm-hmm. around and get some support to help you begin to engage with your grief. So please call us if you have any questions. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I am going to reiterate that if you're involved in any kind of situation, loss of home or any kind of violent situation, that you really need to get some help for yourself. And it's not abnormal what is going on with you. It is very normal to do this. And so I'm just going to say a few things. We got about another minute to talk about how you feel with someone, and not let yourself be bottled up and be getting enraged over this, to try to get sleep that you need and activities that are relaxing, and avoid unhealthy coping activities such as drinking heavily or doing drugs. Take a walk, exercise, listen to music, and see a therapist or a trauma specialist if you have flashbacks or any symptoms. I wish you all the very best. We send you our deep love, and we hope to see you in November the 3rd in Atlanta at Heartbroken Open, Grief as a Sacred Path to Renewal and Rebirth. Have a good day.